this end of the year, although we're still a few weeks short of the season of Advent, we're close enough that we've started singing practices for it tonight, and we're starting to get some very Advent-like themes in coming up in the scripture readings, which I think historically has something to do with the fact that Advent used to be longer than it is now. But this week, the readings were very Advent-like. We had Joshua calling us to choose our path and saying some very scary things about a harsh, unforgiving God that I think Jesus might have taken exception to. But we had Matthew telling us that we must live that choice faithfully because it's no use trying to make up for lost time at the last minute. And we had Paul giving us some fairly spectacular imagery of the return of Christ and the resurrection of those who have died with their trust in Christ. Now, there's more than enough curly questions in all that to keep us going for weeks and weeks, let alone the few weeks of Advent and the few weeks before it. Certainly can't cover them all here. So I'm going to take a run at one of them, and hopefully that will get us off to a good start. I want to look at the Matthew reading because, on the surface at least, it seems to be contradicting some other things that Matthew says. Just before I get to the possible contradictions, though, let me make a broader comment or two. This story, the story of the 10 women at the wedding, is classic Matthew. Not only does it not appear in any of the other three Gospels, but it's hammering a theme that you could be forgiven for accusing Matthew of hammering to death. If Matthew has told us once, then he's told us 100 times that just because you've associated yourself with the Church of Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean that you can rest on your laurels and not worry anymore about faithfulness or integrity in your own life. So in this story, there are 10 bridesmaids. All 10 have been chosen. All 10 are together, dressed in their bridesmaids' dresses and ready for the wedding. So to the casual observer, they're all in. But by the end of the story, half of them are out. If you can get through a study of Matthew's gospel without picking up this message, then Matthew would turn in his grave while waiting for the trumpet blast. He does hammer it over and over. Now, why do I say that Matthew is sounding a bit contradictory here? Well, back in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 6, Matthew quoted Jesus telling us not to worry about tomorrow for the food that we need or the clothes that we will wear, because God can take care of even the sparrows and the lilies of the field, and so God will surely take care of us. But now, in this parable, he's quoting Jesus telling us to make sure that we are carefully prepared for tomorrow. Make sure you have enough oil in case there's a delay. You don't want to be caught short. To have not prepared for tomorrow would be foolish, and those who are wise now are those who have kept enough in reserve. So how are we to reconcile these two things? They're both quoting Jesus. They're both from the same writer. If you think about it, it only gets worse too, because normally the message that we get from Jesus is a message that commends sharing. If someone asks you for your coat, give him your shirt as well. And now Matthew seems to be telling us that the coming Christ, the bridegroom of the story, will reward those who refused to share their oil and sent their unprepared sisters off to fend for themselves. So what's the story? What are we to make of this? Well, the first thing to remember is that even though it might be tempting to, construct an eco-message about the need to conserve oil or something, we're not supposed to literalise the details of this story. It's a parable or an allegory. And once we realise that, then we can look again at our apparent contradiction and ask whether the two sides are actually talking about the same thing or not. Sometimes when we see a contradiction, it's because we have oversimplified the issues. Sure, sharing is generally a good thing to do, but don't be too absolute about it, because sharing herpes is not a good thing to do. Maybe when Jesus says, don't worry about the needs of tomorrow, and when he says, make sure you're stocked up, he's actually talking about two completely different things. Maybe. So let's look at it a little bit more closely. Well, there's not too much question about what Jesus was talking about in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6. Jesus prefaced his comments about not worrying about having enough for tomorrow by saying, you cannot serve both God and money. And then he goes on to talk about food, drink, and clothing. There's no parable. There's no allegory. It's just straight talk. Don't invest your time and energy in providing for your own needs. You've got better things to do, and God can take care of you. There's not too much room for confusion there. Jesus is just telling it straight and simple. But what is he talking about in the story of the wise and the foolish bridesmaids? He's certainly saying be prepared and don't be caught short. But caught short of what? This time, as we've said, it is allegorical speech. He's not actually talking about how many litres of candle oil bridesmaids should have. There are some clear signs to what he is talking about, though. We've got two of Matthew's favourite symbols in this story: weddings and lights. There are lots of wedding parables in Matthew's Gospel, and they are all images of the great messianic banquet, the marriage of earth and heaven, or of Christ and his church at the fulfillment of time. And light. You are the light of the world. Don't hide your light under a bushel. Let your light shine before people so that they will see the good things you do and praise your Father in heaven. This is a common theme in Matthew's Gospel. Oil doesn't feature as frequently in Matthew, but in the Jewish tradition, and Matthew is the most Jewish of the Gospels, oil is a frequent image for one's works of righteousness and justice, or simply for one's obedience to the Torah, to the law of God. So we've got a good start just by looking at the most obvious symbols of the story. We have 10 bridesmaids, representatives of the church, who at first appearance have nothing to distinguish them one from the other. All are called, appropriately dressed, and present, lamps in hand, ready to greet the bridegroom, the coming Christ, at whatever time of night he might arrive. Their lamps, the light they shine to the world, are fueled by their faithfulness and righteous action. But when the bridegroom is delayed, what happens? For five of them, the flow of faithfulness and righteous action dries up. By the time the bridegroom arrives, their lights are not only under a bushel, they're out of fuel. So it's starting to look as though this is not as contradictory as it first appears. For followers of Jesus, preparedness for the unknown of tomorrow is not about stashing away money and supplies to ensure that your own needs are met. It's about living generously, faithfully, courageously. It is about nurturing a life of justice and mercy and integrity. It's not even about sitting gazing at the sky expectantly, waiting for Jesus to return. You'll notice that when the bridegroom arrives in the story, all 10 were asleep. So it's not their sleepiness or wakefulness that distinguished them, but what they had available to fuel their light now that it was needed to shine. So the preparedness called for in this story is looking quite compatible with the carelessness called for in the Sermon on the Mount. They begin to look like one and the same thing. Because in the language of the parable, if you spend your time focused on providing for your own needs, stockpiling money and possessions, you will in fact be running your lamp dry. action that is self-serving produces a dry, selfish heart. Action that is taken in solidarity with others, that is generous and principled, is something that fuels your light, that builds your character. It's something that prepares you for the inbreaking culture of Jesus. What we're talking about here is the stuff of the long haul. We're talking about the bridegroom delayed. It's easy enough to play the peacemaker for a day. When the hostilities drag on year after year, how many peacemakers have the fuel for the long night? Being merciful for an evening can give you a warm feeling inside, but being merciful in the face of persecution month after month takes the preparation of a prepared heart, a transformed heart. Those who would be ready when the bridegroom comes are those who have built reserves of faithfulness and courageous love that can last a lifetime. What then about the puzzling and discomforting quirk in the story, the refusal of the five wise bridesmaids to share their oil? It seems to go counter to the thrust of the story. Well, yeah, it does a bit. It does if you try to read the story too much as an example rather than an allegory. But remember that it's an allegory and read it again. You see, there are some things that you just can't share. There are some things that can't be given away, however generous one may wish to be. Or from the other side, there are some things that you simply can't acquire secondhand. I can't live off your faith. I can't acquire the character that you have built and nurtured over many years of praying your life and living your prayer. I can't borrow from your reserves of faithfulness and integrity. We each have to carve out our own integrity. We each have to live by our own prayer. I can't just choose a really cool and impressive church to associate myself and expect to gain the credit for the courageous action for justice and peace that others in the church have undertaken. No one can go on living off the spiritual capital which others have amassed. So ultimately, this story is an affirmation of the dignity and promise that each of us have been born with. You will not stand judged for anyone else's sin, and you will not be credited with anyone else's righteousness. You work out your own salvation. But wait a minute. If that's true, hasn't this parable just denied one of the basic foundations of our faith, that we are indeed saved by the grace of another, that our only hope is that Jesus credits his righteousness to us? Isn't that the Christian gospel? Jesus does indeed give us oil for our lamps. But Jesus is not one of the 10 bridesmaids, is he? Jesus is the bridegroom. Jesus calls us and clothes us and robes us in righteousness for the wedding and places lamps in our hands and oil in our flasks and says, "Be ready." It is oil given to us graciously by Jesus that we are called to keep replenished. It is the righteousness and justice that are given to us by grace that we are asked to live out faithfully until he comes. All of this is grace upon grace, and the wise will not squander it.